And welcome back to another edition of Into the Ropes, your pro wrestling escape podcast. Welcome back, everybody. If we are here for another edition, we know it's been, I think, about 2 weeks that we took off. We took a little vacation out to Utah, Jamie and I, but enough about that. Jamie, a lot has happened in 2 weeks.
A ton has happened, so we got to get right to it.
We do. What do you want to start off with today?
Let's start out with our wrestler of the day.
Okay, that's good. We're doing wrestler of the day. We're pretty consistent with that, I think, at this point. Yeah. That's obviously where we introduce a wrestler of the day from present or past.
And we give a little, we talk a little bit about that wrestler, whether it's how they began with wrestling, what they're doing now, everything about them, pretty much.
Some memorable moments that stood out to us personally, so...
So who do we want to talk about today, Kyle?
Well, honestly, we should have started with our favorites, honestly, early on when we started doing this, but it's hard to just have one. But I think I can easily say that this is my number one wrestler of all time.
And you've told me this since I met you in 2013, so yep. I can vouch for him.
Yep, and his name is Glenn Jacobs.
A.K.A.
Kane. And, ooh, man, I mean, for those of you out there listening, we all know who Kane is. Just, you know, Brothers of Destruction. I mean, just there's so many different phases of him, and there's so much that he did in his career that just sticks out in your mind, whether it's memorable moments or just different characters he played prior to Kane. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of get into that in just a few seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So we know that Kane, Glenn Jacobs, started out with wrestling probably like it was about around 1992.
Right, yeah, he joined Independent Circuit.
Yep, and it was called the Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Right, and
that was... Because he's from the Smoky Mountain area, like Knoxville area.
Right, and that's... Tennessee. Yep, so he started out in Knoxville and did that for a few years, and then he signed a contract with WWF. Yeah.
So he moved directly from the small independent circle to WWF. So he moved up pretty quickly.
Right, and a small tidbit, I did find out this earlier, that the Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I think, has about 10 episodes from their promotion on the WWE Network from 1994.
That's crazy.
So that's exactly the range where Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane, was in. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure what his character's name was at that time, but I really want to go back there this weekend and just kind of see how he developed and how he started, and then we can see how he developed.
Yeah, we can definitely watch that. Yeah, exactly. It'd be cool to see him back in 1994 then, like you said.
Right, so WWF 1995, you know, he started out, he had a few different characters. His first one was Mike Unabom. That name didn't really age too well later on. But then he's really starting to hit his character with a new name by the name of Isaac Yankum, and that was a dentist. He played a dentist as a wrestler. Oh. So you got to think, this is the 90s, the WWF era, where they had some interesting characters. Yeah, I mean, you had Doink the Clown, you have a dentist, I mean, you have all these, you have a garbage man, and if you just heard that noise, once again, Jack is giving his version of saying hello on the podcast, just shaking
Kane as well.
And hitting his tail on our table.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, anyways, Jack's
ahead. Anyways, so back to Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Yeah. So I showed Jamie a picture of Kane as Isaac Yankum. What was your reaction?
If you do not know what he looked like as this character, please go Google it, because it's disturbing.
Yeah, I'll have to put a video and or some pictures on the End of the Ropes Instagram.
Let's just say he bleached his hair, or tried to bleach his hair. It's curly, it's short.
With a mullet,
and his teeth.
And maybe a perm, actually.
Yeah, maybe it is a perm, that's maybe how he got
maybe
curly.
Maybe it's a perm, yeah.
But his teeth are not dentist-like.
I think that's the idea.
Yeah, it was not good. I'm glad it did not last long.
Right. I mean, it didn't last nearly as long as Kane, but it actually made like almost mid-card status in terms of WWF. So he got like midway through there. He made pay-per-views. And then from Isaac Yankum, then at that same time was when Diesel and Razor Ramon, when they basically left WWF to go join WCW, who were then later known as Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Well, WWF kind of, I guess their response to that was, okay, well, we're going to keep your character and have two different guys play Diesel and Razor Ramon. That's where Glenn Jacobs came in. He played the role of fake Diesel. So they put a match where it was Diesel versus Razor Ramon, played both those guys, same music, but then comes out the fake Diesel, which is Glenn Jacobs at the time. Mm-hmm. So that was somewhat of a memorable moment, because it was a big response that WWF had, kind of like, all right, we're going to mess with the WCW, just to kind of make fun of those guys. And little did we know that that was the future of Kane.
Yeah, and I think Kane was a big inspiration to a lot of people back in the day. And then, you know, obviously he was always teamed up with Undertaker and just them two as being the darker...
Well, the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, but they always had that dark ambiance to them. Fire and, again, dark.
Fire. Music. Dark. Yeah, there you go. You tell them.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah.
That's how I always remember. The lights go out, basically, when Kane.
Do you remember when Kane made his first appearance to WWF as his character Kane?
I do not.
So it was in Bad Blood 1996, and it was a Hell in a Cell match between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
Interesting.
And those two had a brutal match, and then all of a sudden, like you said, lights go out.
Of course dark, they did.
Fire. And next thing you know, you hear his organ music. God, mm-hmm. that's still tattooed in my brain. I love his entrance song. Just everything about it. And Paul Bearer comes out, and mm-hmm. he'd been hinting for weeks prior to that pay-per-view about his brother, but no one knew who it was. And so he's coming out, and then Vince McMahon, I mean, my gosh, he had like the most classic line saying, that's gotta be Kane. That's Undertaker's brother, Kane. Mm-hmm. Kane comes out, and then, you know, the door on the Hell in a Cell is still attached. Kane just kind of looks at it, grabs it, and just tears that freaking door off like it's nothing. Maybe they undid it just for, you know, theatrics, but still, it was pretty cool to see. And then he came in. Him and Undertaker were face-to-face in the ring, and Undertaker kind of had the look of, oh, my God, I thought you were dead, or, you know, you were, mm-hmm. you're here now. And then Kane went ahead and did a tombstone piledriver on him. And I like to say the rest is history, but, God, so much happened right after that. I mean, then it went into Kane just becoming this incredible force. WWF, he was in the title picture. He wasn't. He had feuds with every top name, Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, mm-hmm. obviously Undertaker. And then now all the way down, you can fast forward it to where he was with Daniel Bryan and Team Hell No back in 2013.
Well, do you remember when he came back to WWE in 2013? Where were we?
Ooh.
Do you not remember this?
Were we in Miami?
Yes.
Okay. Was it a Raw or was it Hell in a Cell?
Pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell.
Okay. Oh, God damn. She's getting me on that one, guys.
In 2013. I bought you tickets.
You did. That's right.
He came back. Well, it's just interesting how he started mm-hmm. coming out to Hell in a Cell. And then, you know, he took certain hiatuses throughout his career. But
right.
that one happened to be a pretty long one up in, I don't know how long it was between whatever in 2013. But he came back on Hell in a Cell. So
maybe
we had no idea that he was coming back.
Either. No, we
so
didn't.
It was really cool to be able to see him come back and hear his music hit.
You know, I honestly forgot about that.
Yeah.
Until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
So that was actually really cool. And I think maybe he took the hiatus for, it could be injury, it could be rest. He's a little bit older then. But also, too, we know that now everybody that's been following WWE, because Kane, a.k.a. Glenn Jacobs, is the mayor of a little city out of Tennessee called Knoxville.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, and recently, I think a couple of months ago, he ended up pinning R-Truth for the 24/7 title.
Oh, yeah.
Because the mayor gave R-Truth a tour of Neyland Stadium, where the University of Tennessee Knoxville football plays.
That was cool how they
incorporated. So he showed him, and then he just pinned him, rolled him up. And
yeah, because they were there for a Raw, I believe. It was
right,
Raw.
Yeah, right.
They were there for that night. So it was cool that they got to incorporate him, and he was able to come back as... And do that sort of thing.
Definitely. And yeah, I mean, go back, look at our Instagram at End of the Ropes. There's obviously, clearly you're gonna notice who I like the most.
Yeah.
Out of all the
you
posts.
You have a ton of videos of Kane.
And there's gonna be a ton more. Especially now, I'm gonna try to pull some of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling clips and post them on the Instagram, because that's just something that'll be rare to find. I mean, everybody's gonna see like him ripping the door off of the mm-hmm. Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood in '96, but no one's really gonna see him getting a start at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So I think I'll start doing that kind of stuff on there. But tribute to Kane. Cheers to him. Jamie and I are also enjoying a beverage while we're doing this podcast. So
cheers to Kane.
That's right.
And since we're talking about Kane, let's go into what's going on in WWE these days.
Wait, are they related?
I mean, he kind of has some ties with them.
Good segue, babe.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, we'll kick off with WWE. We'll kind of run through what's been going on storyline-wise. There is a pay-per-view coming up within the next few weeks, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Really not too many matches announced, but let's kind of discuss like some of the storylines that are trying to develop. Yeah. Some storylines that are overdeveloped and some that need to be developed.
Yeah, I think we want to start off with a little bit. Let's go with Raw first.
Okay, yeah, we'll start with the brands. That kind of makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Let's start off with Rusev and Bobby Lashley. Okay. What do you think about that whole feud with Lana as well? Lana's obviously a big part of this whole entire feud.
Let me state this. Starting off, it was absolutely horrendous, friggin' terrible. The execution was even awful.
And I believe our last podcast, we mentioned that we absolutely hated it.
Right.
But do we think it's developed into something better now?
I do.
Yeah, I think even Lana's gotten a little better. But right. I mean, her just as her character.
But she's playing her part well, I think.
She's still a little annoying to me, a little over the top. Everything she wears is just flashy and short and very low cleavage everywhere. I just don't get the reasoning behind that, but
I mean, there doesn't have to be a reason. It's just
sex sells. I understand that. So.
I mean, it's good on the eyes.
Yeah. She's gorgeous. Of course she rocks it, but
God, you wow, okay.
She does. I mean, she's great, but I don't know. So do you think she's doing her part well?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I know what you're saying on the mic. Maybe she's a little over-exaggerating.
And
like
now she doesn't have her accent anymore. So she still tries to talk like as if she's, you know, Rusev's ex.
She's supposed to be Russian.
She all of a sudden kind of lost her Russian accent.
Yeah.
So Rusev, I don't like
crush.
That.
Yeah,
I don't like
anymore.
That either. It's just not there. Maybe she's trying to kind of incorporate it, but it's not there like it used to be.
Well, you know, they've gone back and forth with restraining orders. Rusev can only come so many feet, so mm-hmm. many cities now, apparently. But obviously that doesn't matter. That's typical storyline where
he showed up this week.
Rusev's, yeah, exactly. But the cool thing about that was we got to see two people be walked out in cuffs, and mm-hmm. one of them was not Rusev. And but that was because Rusev had attacked Bobby Lashley. Mm-hmm. However, prior to that, Lana and Bobby Lashley had two quote-unquote, I don't think they're supposed to be bodyguards, but they were like some sort of like federal state agents or whatever,
security,
just protecting them. And I mean, maybe, I don't know, the casting of that was a little weird. Those guys just did not look the part.
Mm-mm.
It's like, oh, you're gonna protect Bobby Lashley. Okay, sure.
Okay.
He could eat either of these guys.
Yeah, two times your size.
At the same time.
And Rusev is also two times your size.
Right, yeah, you're going to stop him. But either way, so Rusev obviously ended up attacking Bobby Lashley and then was able to leave. And then Bobby Lashley kind of looked at the two security people that they had hired to protect them and ended up like bumping into one of them, clearly on purpose. And the one guy obviously got ticked off about that, went up to him, grabbed him by the shoulder, and then put cuffs on him. And then Lana yelled at the other one, and she ended up slapping him in the face.
Of course she did.
And then they looked at her and like, all right, you're coming with, you know, and slapped those cuffs on her. And of course, I thought that was executed pretty well. And they, you know, put him in the back of the car. And there's some really good memes out there with Lashley and Lana behind bars. That's pretty funny. I think the storyline itself, it's nearing the end. Started off super rocky. I think story creative actually picked it up somehow, and mm-hmm. at least to me personally, I think it's developing into a pretty solid storyline. I mean, what do you think? Do you want to see it to end already? Or?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah,
I don't really like Lana in the whole aspect. I just haven't liked the way she's done things. Not my cup of tea. But it is what it is. I'm ready for them to just end this feud and decide who's Lana going to end up with. Like, is she really going to stay with Bobby Lashley for the rest of the time? Or is she going to go back to Rusev, you know?
What do you think?
Go back to Rusev. Because that's her actual husband in real life. So
I mean, I don't think that's any bearing on it, but
I do think it will, I don't know. My own opinion, I just think it'll eventually go back to that. I don't know, I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Okay.
Ready for it to end.
Ready for it to end, and I think it will. I think it's kind of aiming towards where that could end up being a match at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Yeah.
And obviously, just a heads up, we are recording this episode on Friday, and this is prior to Friday Night SmackDown airing, even though they're on Raw. But still, when we get into SmackDown, things we talk about may honestly tying up the loose ends.
Yeah.
But let's move on to our next storyline that we can kind of dive into a little bit. And that is, how about
Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins. you know, it's hard to put our finger on him. And, you know, the past few weeks, they're definitely toying the idea that he could possibly do a heel turn.
Like, will he turn? Yes or no? We don't know.
And my whole thing is, at this point, he just needs to.
I don't think he does.
No?
No. I don't think he will.
You don't think he will?
No. Do you think he will?
I do. I just don't know when.
Okay. You think he's just angry and kind of bottling it all up inside and just hasn't completely lashed out?
Because if we remember, anytime Rollins is the heel, we hate him. Like, he's really good at it.
I mean, I guess just based upon the...
His promos as a face, I don't buy. I think it's just just so fake, and I don't know, like...
But he's, like, the face of WWE. I mean, when he had that title, he was the face of WWE. But now that he doesn't have a title...
Right.
I mean, could he change? Yes, but I don't think they're going to put his character that way. I think they're going to keep him as still a face in WWE and try to help out people. Kind of like how he did with Kevin Owens. He offered himself to help Kevin Owens.
But then he left.
Yeah, but Kevin Owens said he didn't want his help.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens pushed him away.
Yeah.
So there's one thing about being nice, and then there's another thing about being overly nice. But I think Seth Rollins is still going to be that good guy, but he's not going to go out of the way to be that good guy.
Yeah, I just feel like in WWE, when you are a true face...
You're always there.
You're always there.
Stupid.
That's probably why I'm leaning towards the side of he's going to turn. It's just a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And they were obviously really flirting with the idea of Authors of Pain being his backups as to the people that, you know, attacked
Kevin Owens. But who's to say that Kevin Owens is a face? I would think of Kevin Owens still as a heel.
I think they're pushing him as a, I don't care how you think he is, he's just like your...
But there's a lot of people that don't like him, and there's a lot of people that do like him. He's very in the middle, so Kevin Owens is not either which way. So getting involved with the AOP from Seth Rollins' side, that doesn't mean that he's a heel.
Well, I think it does. Because
Kevin Owens isn't a face.
Yeah, but Authors of Pain are clearly a heel. So I think by association, therefore...
But they haven't proved anything yet. That they're working together.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying with Authors of Pain, in terms of attacking Kevin Owens, he comes out as the face.
Seth Rollins is not, and AOP working together has not been proven.
Not yet.
So not we'll yet. Have to see.
But you don't think it's going to happen?
No.
Okay. I think it's going to happen. I don't know if those three are going to end up being connected, AOP and Rollins, but Rollins is turning.
I mean, I kind of hope not. We don't need another triple... Threat match, or not triple threat match, like a three tag team match.
Oh, we don't need a 9-man tag match?
No, we don't need that. We don't need a single guy with a tag team.
The cameraman doesn't know what the hell to do when you have that many bodies in the ring. You can't even see the goddamn match.
I
really hope
not. I don't want it. I want Seth Rollins to stand as individual, but either way, that's a separate subject. I don't think he's going to turn heel.
Okay. Well, then also, too, one thing we like to add is this upcoming Monday, December 9th, is Raw is actually going to be in our town that we currently live in, and that's going to be in Greenville, South Carolina. And, of course, we got tickets right when tickets went on the presale, because we got the presale code because we went to the SmackDown that was here, actually, last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really hope it ends up being a great show. But either way, it'll be a great time. We'll get to see a lot of our favorite wrestlers. And
yeah, I can't wait.
Live, it'll be a real live event. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully there'll be some surprises, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Look for us in the first row of the stadium kind of area.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, babe. Yeah, look for us in the first row of the stadium, everybody. Hey, good luck finding
us.
We're
not on the floor, so.
Yeah, that helps. That helps.
Sorry, my bad. We can delete this part.
No worries. We're not deleting it. I'm not going through this. Anyways, I'll probably go live, probably maybe for a few segments, just to kind of show that where our seats are. And if you guys want to chime in, great. If not, then screw you. Just kidding. Anyways, Raw, Greenville, we're excited. We got tickets. We're going to be there. Mm. All right, SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Do we want to start with different feuds or something that happened?
Yeah, so I think one thing I do want to highlight, there's a couple things that happened on SmackDown recently I think we need to highlight, which will kind of go into those storylines. We'll start with Bayley and Sasha Banks, and they were out in the ring last week on SmackDown and, you know, cutting a promo, mm-hmm. and Lacey Evans came out. which I thought was kind of cool because she kind of hasn't really been on the screen since Crown Jewel.
And she's a good wrestler.
Yeah, she's decent.
I think she's good. I don't like her character, but she's a good wrestler.
She has the look.
Yeah.
She's very physical. She's believable. Yeah, I think she's a beast. Yeah, sure. Yeah. But, you know, she came out and Bayley got the mic. Bayley's holding her title and her.
I hate Bayley.
Yeah. Great. I'm sure she's a cool person in real life. Like her. But
I just don't believe her. She's not believable to me. But yeah, either way, she's out there talking. And
Lacey Evans had enough.
Yeah, she came out and.
She cold cocked her.
Attacked her.
Yep. No, or she didn't attack her. She just punched her.
Straight up punched her.
And then left. I was happy about that.
Said, see ya.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to see.
No, I hope. So eventually, so essentially the feud's going to be Bayley versus Lacey Evans.
It's got to be because it'll be a title match,
I think. Is Sasha still Team Bayley or is she starting to kind of realize that if she wants to get to the top, she's going to have to go against Bayley?
She's going to have to. And I think what you're alluding to is what everybody's probably thinking is, you know, Lacey Evans, Bayley, I think they'll build it up to be a pretty solid match, they ending up with Bayley retaining. And then I think they're going to build up Sasha and Bayley. Bayley,
WrestleMania.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's a pretty long build, but
they can do it.
They'll do it.
Yeah.
They can definitely do it. Which would be great because we'll be there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have tickets there, so that's pretty exciting.
So that'd be nice. So we'll see it then. Maybe. So that's
so Bayley, Lacey Evans. I mean, I am really curious to see how that storyline plays out. It could end up being a really good, a very underrated storyline because I think both can perform pretty well in the ring together, and yeah, we'll see how that turns out. But that would potentially be a TLC match, I think.
Yeah, and then we have Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt as an ongoing feud.
Right.
Obviously, they wrestled back at
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series
title match.
Yep, and Bray Wyatt
retained,
but the feud is still going.
Of course.
And I guess we'll probably see more to come with that feud as well. I'm guessing for TLC. I mean, it could end tonight, but I'm guessing it's going to go into TLC.
You mean end tonight in SmackDown?
Yeah.
It's definitely not going to end tonight. It's definitely, they're not, for the Universal title type storyline, they're not going to end it on a during the week show. They'll end it at a pay-per-view, if not two pay-per-views, which I think is going to happen.
You think two more with them?
No, two total, meaning the Survivor Series and this one. It'd be a little long-winded, I think, if it ended up being three. But, you know, the last few weeks on SmackDown, they definitely have had their moments together. And most recently, this past week, Bray Wyatt came out from under the ring, or through the ring, so to speak, pulled Daniel Bryan in, and pulled him in, and then Bray Wyatt comes out on top, and he's holding up, it looks like, long pieces of strands of Daniel Bryan's hair. Like, actually a lot of it. So
did he cut his hair? This entire week,
we're going to find out a little bit later tonight what happened to Daniel Bryan's hair, if that even was his hair, and go from there. But that's clearly, I will be shocked if that is not a TLC match with TLC stipulations.
You think so?
I kind of want to, I want it to be a table, ladders, and chairs match. I want to see Bray Wyatt to go on a ladder. I really do.
To have, for him to go on a ladder?
Well, yeah, to get the title.
But do you think that Daniel Bryan would be up for that?
I mean, if it's a title shot, why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you thinking of his health?
Yeah.
She's such a softy. You gotta stop watching Total Divas.
You know, he's got that neck problem.
You realize that they would not clear him if he could not perform.
But he's putting himself in dangerous situations, okay?
They all are.
All right, fine.
I mean, I understand you love Brie Bella, but Total Divas is probably, well, it's reality, but it's not.
I know. It'd be cool. I mean, I love any matches at TLC. So
I just want to see Bray Wyatt on a ladder.
Okay.
I just want to see his agility.
I want to see him go through tables.
Hey, he played football. Bray Wyatt played football at Troy University, all right? That's my brother's alma mater.
Oh, man. So
therefore, he has agility.
I'm sure he does. He can climb right up that ladder.
I just want to see it.
And get that title.
I just want to see it.
He'll be fine.
It'll be entertaining either way.
You know who will win, so.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Next time we do predictions, I'm holding you to that.
No, please don't.
So I know that moving away from that, we'll see what happens.
Away from what? What are we moving away from?
Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
We're on to a...
You're missing one little snippet of SmackDown that happened.
I'm going to that.
Oh, you are? Okay.
What do you think I'm going to talk about?
You're going, hey.
No, I was not. No. First, we have to talk about somebody who made a promo last week on
SmackDown. Oh, yeah. Who was that?
My man, Sheamus.
Finn Balor? Oh, yeah.
No, not Finn. Don't even get me started on that. No, another man that I've been rooting to come back for, and I've been saying this for weeks that he's going to eventually come back.
Weeks, months, you name it.
Of course, he's coming back on SmackDown, because who's not on SmackDown right
now? Yeah, it's a little annoying. It's a slap in the face to people that are going to attend Raw in Greenville,
but
right?
But we get to see the man and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And we'll see Charlotte Flair and AJ Styles.
There'll be some good people. Whatever. There'll
be Ricochet.
We don't even...
My favorite. I love him as a wrestler. Anyway, so you were saying Sheamus. We're getting off topic here.
Anyways, back to Sheamus. So he made a promo last week, so it sounds like he's coming back, which I think is great. I don't know exactly where he's been or why he's been gone, but
it's his injury. They're just being safe.
Injury stuff. Either way, he's coming back, it sounds like. Who his next feud's going to be or where he's going to start out, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you know yet?
I think it'd be pretty cool if he had a feud with Cesaro.
Okay.
You know, they were the Bar for a long time for a tag team. Mm-hmm. And Cesaro has not been anywhere to be found except for chasing the... Well, no, actually, he was a part of the whole Survivor Series. That's what was weird. So when they were building up Survivor Series and they had the invasions on different shows, whenever SmackDown came out, Cesaro was a part of the SmackDown team.
So he's on SmackDown.
No, what I'm getting at, but he wasn't in that SmackDown match.
Oh, he was just always there.
He was just there. Okay, which is kind of weird. And he always wearing, and the weird thing was, I know this is like a total side note, but he was always wearing like a hat.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just weird to me.
Yeah.
And it was always on. And like he's fighting somebody, kicking them, doing all your moves, and your hat is staying on. Like, I was impressed. I think the hat was glued onto his head. But aside from that, I would love to see that feud because there's a history, there's a great storyline that you don't really have to build up too much. You can go back and, you know, get prior scenes where they argued and all that. That'd be easy. And plus, they are both phenomenal in-ring performers.
That'd be good to see.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm glad Sheamus is back, though.
I am, too.
I always like him.
I want to see fella. I want to see the big Irish guy.
Yeah.
Hopefully
can we move on?
Well, hold on. Hopefully, Sheamus's hair is back to normal.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the whole 80s, like...
Mohawk.
It was cool, but then it just didn't last very long.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay.
So. Jamie has been itching to get to this next segment, and I'll go ahead and spell it out for her. Kind of like Bret Hart when he spelled out WCW when he was about to leave WWE. It's AEW. And by the way, the hand motion I just made was clearly didn't spell out AEW. I don't know what I just did, but thank God we're not going live or anything. It would be pretty bad.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk about and dive into the AEW storylines. You know, a few weeks ago they had their pay-per-view, and now they're kind of building up to their next pay-per-view, which is going to be a former WCW name, which is one of my favorites, was Bash at the Beach. And that's going to be in January.
Yes.
So right now they're...
There's still some time before
that. Yeah, they're still somewhat in the beginning stages of trying to figure out what their matches are going to be and really just build it up. And what I really like about AEW, before we get into the storylines, is what I think they're doing is very smart, and they have the ability to do this. They're not doing house shows right now.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, they're putting all their creative and all their storylines into one show on Wednesday nights weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a good thing to have right now because you're still building it up. But I think as they get bigger, they're going to have to end up maybe potentially having two shows or expanding to house shows. But regardless of that...
For now, they're not.
They're not doing that, but I still tune into AEW. I do watch NXT as well. We'll cover NXT a little bit on our next episode because we just don't have enough time to do both.
Mm-hmm.
We do go back and forth, and yes, you are allowed to like both AEW and NXT. Anybody that says otherwise can just go shut the hell up. I do both, so they can just, you know, I got two words for them. Anyways, AEW, here we go. So there's a couple of storylines that could be potentially happening. We have the Young Bucks and Dustin Rhodes. They most recently had a match against Proud and Powerful, and also the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara. And that was actually a very entertaining match. First off, let me just say kudos to Dustin Rhodes. I don't have his age memorized
he's
or anything.
Up there.
Holy shit.
And he still is really agile.
My God.
Yeah, he's good,
I don't think I could do what he does. No. But
He's awesome.
Whoa, okay, yeah, hold on. Whoa, you don't have to say no that quickly about me.
You don't know.
No. I don't think I could do what he does. No.
No. You definitely could not.
No, I couldn't because I'm not trained, but...
kept up with those young bucks.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Anyways, good one. That was so bad but funny. So I think that'll end up being a good feud. That was good. That's really good, actually. Anyway, so Young Bucks, and I think they all have a synergy when they wrestle. You can see they've done this before. They put on a great show for the crowd whenever they wrestle together, and they just don't care. Like, these moves they do off the top ropes.
It's insane.
Namely, Young Bucks and Sammy Guevara. It's just insane and proud and powerful. They, and inside the ring, they, the communication they have without even talking to each other, it's pretty good. I just love the tag teams that are in AEW right now.
Yeah, same.
It's very strong.
And it's interesting how they put these tag teams together with an individual just to make it a little different and stronger and just be able to add more talent into a specific match, I guess.
Well,
because, again, like you said, there's only one day a week right now that they're wrestling. So right, they want to be able to show off their talent, which I think is great. So they're putting it together in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they have time to also.
Yeah, they have the ability to put these powerful tag teams along with an individual who's strong too, mm-hmm, and promote those groups together. So it's good. I like it a lot.
Well, then also these two groups, specifically Young Bucks and Dustin Rose, the clear up, I guess, main artery is obviously Cody.
Yeah.
Originally when it first started, when mm-hmm, the company first started. And then obviously on the other side, you have Proud and Powerful and Spanish God, which all are a part of the Inner Circle with Chris Jericho and Jake Hager.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they're still somewhat, you know, feuding back and forth in mm-hmm, their own right, which is pretty cool because Jericho doesn't even have to come out at that point.
No.
They can hold their own, where Cody and Jericho don't have to come out to really make it what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And you still know what is against what, or right, who's against who in this whole entire
thing. And you have enough interest to where it's just with those guys.
Yeah.
You don't need the other two coming in.
Correct. And that's a powerful point, that you don't need the head honchos to come in.
It's a proud and powerful point. Okay. So we were just super, super shitty, cheesy mm-hmm, in this episode. But anyways, so why don't you kind of go off into our next storyline? What do you think it's going to be?
So I think something else that we saw and want to talk about is that Cody came out and did a promo.
Cody and promos.
Isn't that crazy?
As much as I love Chris Jericho and promos, and I don't think he can be touched right now currently, not historically, so hold on, people out there, you history buffs. Just currently, no one's better than Chris Jericho cutting promos. However, Cody is got to right be there. 1A, 1B, or just number two.
That's why them feuding against each other is just perfect. But he cut.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but he cut a great promo because mm-hmm, of the whole MJF stuff going on and, yep, you know, him turning against Cody.
Oh, yeah.
And he basically said, name your price.
Right.
And so obviously MJF did not come out and name a price, but mm-hmm, Cody said, here's a $100 bill.
Right. And so because of that, so Cody originally came out with that briefcase.
Yeah.
And he opened it, and in the middle of his promo, he goes, you know, MJF, you can name your price. Well, he has his briefcase. He opens it up. He goes, also, by the way, this is $50,000 in mm-hmm, cash. And to prove it to you, I'm going to give $100 to a fan out in the crowd.
Oh, that kid that got it was so cute.
Yeah, the kid was sitting first row, I believe. Yeah, cute. Yeah,
he was a little suit and tie.
Yeah.
He was adorable. He was perfect.
Yeah, so they had the ring announcer, Justin Roberts, go down and hand it to him. They had it on camera, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So it's little things like that really kind of draw me in on the AEW. It's just mm-hmm, they're doing everything right, it seems like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the Cody promo, once again, you know, next level promo, A+, really selling it to where I think him and MJF are going to end up having a feud, I think, at Bash at the Beach.
Definitely.
It probably will be a price tag on it because that's kind of the way it's navigating mm-hmm, towards. Not going to be a title, but see, that's what I like about it, is it's going to be such a good storyline, and there's not even a title involved.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to see them beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, no, they'll definitely go
for it. And one little thing, Cody, remember when he gashed his head
mm-hmm,
at the pay-per-view mm-hmm, in full gear? Yeah, that's going to take a while to heal.
Yeah, quite a while.
Like, on the camera.
I don't know if that'll ever look back to that won't ever look normal again. That's always he's always gonna have that scar. He's gonna be scarred. Eyebrow. So sorry, Cody.
Putting his body on the line for the company.
Yep.
For sure his company, rather.
It'll be a good battle wound to talk about years down the line.
Right, and I think with this storyline, I think next week MJF will come out with his response, and we'll see. And of course, yeah, you know, MJF with another great promo guy and fantastic really interacts with the crowd. And
yeah, I love MJF.
So. Yeah, God, I wish you had Twitter because you could just see how he just interacts with all the people that talk shit to him on Twitter.
I do have Twitter.
I know, but you need to follow him. Like, he does not care. Like, he stays in character 100% of the time.
I don't follow Twitter enough to go on and see him.
But like, people will talk shit to him, say something, he'll respond and say something.
Just like MJF would.
I don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool.
And then you see videos of him at autograph signings, still in character. Mm-hmm. He goes, "They want me to sign this? All right, hurry up, get the fucking picture."
Wow.
Yeah.
A dick.
I know. I mean, like, it's...
I love him for it, right?
I appreciate it, but at the same time, it's like, damn, is it any time that he just... Maybe that's his character. That's who he is. I don't know.
Yep, he plays his character in and out of the ring, so...
He does.
That's awesome. So let's go on to another feud that's going on in AEW. There's a whole bunch of them, though. Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much a feud. This is more so some of those weird commercials they're cutting within AEW Dynamite. So it's not when they go to a commercial. Those
weird commercials.
Like
you almost think it's a commercial, but then you start watching it and you're like, wait, this is not.
Yeah, that first one that aired. Commercial. Like I don't know what I was doing. I think I was like on the computer or something or on my phone, and I'm like listening to something. And then I look up and it says something like "Join the Dark Order." And I look up and it looks like a commercial. I'm like, what the hell am I watching? And then. I realized the TNT logo is still on the TV, and I'm like, oh, that's the Dark Order. That's that group. So they're doing these really clever commercials, just something different, you know. And, again, anything that's different nowadays in professional wrestling, especially, you know, with WWE, I respect because you're trying to do something different. Mm-hmm. And it's this faction called the Dark Order that's been around at AEW since the start, and they are just trying to recruit. And they're clearly preying on the weak-minded individuals, and it's definitely cultish and sacrificial. That's kind of how they're coming off. But we'll see where this goes. It's we'll see the next few commercials, and I don't know. I like it just because it's different. It's definitely creepy. Don't get me wrong.
It's very creepy, and it's a little cheesy for me.
It's too cheesy for you.
Yeah. Low budget. I just don't really like the promos that they're cutting yet about.
You don't? Okay.
I don't.
So you're basically disregarding every little thing I say about this.
Yeah. You can like it, but I don't care where it goes. Because I feel like the whole commercial or whatever it is that the promos that they're cutting with it just, again, look cheap and cheesy to me. It's like the first thing of AEW that I've not really liked.
Okay.
But that's my own opinion.
Yeah. I guess you're entitled to that. Whatever. Yeah.
Not my thing. We'll see what happens. All right. So let's move on to... So I've been seeing that Brandi Rhodes and Awesome Kong are doing some things together.
Yeah, some weird things.
Weird things.
Like, super freaking weird.
Like, gathering people's hair?
Yeah, so basically, Brandi Rhodes and Awesome Kong attack. They're attacking the women's division one by one. And after they attack that particular woman... After they beat her up, mm-hmm. beat her to a pulp, they cut a strand of her hair off.
That's weird and creepy.
Well, Awesome Kong's one that has the blade and cuts it. It's weird.
Like, what are they going to do with all this?
Even Cody said in his promo earlier, I know we're kind of going back, but in his promo he just referred to, he basically was painting a picture of how his life is so shitty right now. He doesn't know what to do. Like, here my brother's doing crazy shit with the Young Bucks, and mm-hmm. here I am. I'm gashing my head for the company and getting nothing out of it. I basically can't, you know, get a title shot anymore. And my wife is over here cutting strands off of random women's hair. You know, like, it was just great how he put that in the promo. But yeah, so Brandi Rhodes, who she's playing it off very well. She's clearly a heel and being very dark. And she has Awesome Kong as her muscle doing all the dirty work, so to speak. And they had a little segment on AEW Dynamite recently where a fan basically said, "Yes, cut my hair." Clearly, it's not a fan. You can tell it's a wrestler.
There's no way.
No, she was super jacked, but she went into the ring and wanted to have her hair cut. They didn't beat her up or anything, and so I'm guessing. So essentially, they're trying to grow whatever faction that is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Still don't know what that's going to do because there's not really any tag teams in AEW for women at this time.
Yeah. So
maybe that's the start of it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be the start of it.
And that's great. I mean, I hope that continues and builds up to be something big.
Yeah.
But creepy as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so I guess we have to talk about Jericho.
Oh, my God.
Because every single Wednesday we have to talk about Jericho.
We have to. At some point. Yeah. Whether we talk about AEW or not, we mention him.
Yeah. So what did he do this week on the mic?
Oh, my God. What doesn't he do? He's just Chris Jericho. He comes out.
Love him.
And he has his glasses on. He's got his flashy jacket with no shirt on underneath. And Jake Hager just, you know, walking behind him. I don't know. Anytime I see Jake Hager, I just laugh. I think ever since Jake Hager promo where what was the word he chimed in and said a few weeks ago? He just said that one word, and Jericho would hand the mic to him, and he'd say the one word, and Jericho wouldn't say it.
I don't know. It's
not a big of a deal. But now, because of that, now I just look at Hager and just laugh because he kind of smirked when he was doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, I don't think he broke character, but I feel like he kind of did.
It was hard for him to keep face.
Right. Yeah. It's Jericho. How do you not? But a little bit of the bubbly man himself came down to the ring, cut a promo, and he introduced a clipboard, which for all of us that have watched WWE, it was a takeoff of
the list,
names on the list. But of course, since he's with AEW now, it's a different name. It's the LLC, and it is the Lexicon of Le Champion. So essentially, it's the same thing as that list. And as he's basically saying that on his contract, he has to have one more match in 2019.
Which is almost over.
Which is why, yes, and this is why he created the list. He goes, on my list, here's who I am not going to face. And he named out some crazy, he goes, Young Bucks, he went Uncle Buck, he went Joe Buck, he said all these, like, Buck names, and then he'd throw in John Moxley. And then he'd go on to another list of five other characters, and then he'd say, John Moxley. And then five more characters, and John Moxley, you know? So it's like, clearly he doesn't want to face him yet, in which I think is going to end up being a Bash at the Beach title match, which I cannot wait for that. Ooh. And yeah. So towards the end of his promo, that gets cut. All of a sudden, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and their little group come out and interrupt Jericho's promo. And Luchasaurus got on the mic first. And first off, let me just say, that guy is massive.
He's huge.
And I think him and Hager,
especially next to Jungle Boy. No offense.
Well, yeah, and even the other guy.
Yeah.
But I think Luchasaurus and Hager will end up being a good match against each other. They're both just huge. But he has some funny things to say about, you know, being a prehistoric dinosaur. We haven't been respected in 65 million years. Which, to me, I just laughed. That was just clever. I liked it. And then Jungle Boy got on the mic. Well, no, excuse me. Jericho took the mic and says, well, it's definitely not going to be Luchasaurus. Is it going to be you, huh, Jungle Boy? And basically saying you want to be Hollywood person or kid or whatever. And he goes, oh, yeah, you know what I think of you? And this is just Jericho being Jericho. He goes, I think you're a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd obviously ate that up. And then from that moment after he said he called him a piece of shit, Jungle Boy just ripped that mic out of his hand. And Jericho just kind of like looked at him like, what did you just do?
Yeah.
And Jungle Boy basically challenged him to a match in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know what? I'm going to kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then slapped Jericho and Jericho just had a tantrum, was throwing chairs out of the ring and whatever. But needless to say, I think that'll be a somewhat okay storyline with Jericho and Jungle Boy. I think Jungle Boy's not going to win. But I think in terms of Jericho, let Jericho win clean. Because lately, anytime he's won, Jake Hager has helped out.
Yeah.
If he can't beat Jungle Boy clean, that just kind of just, it loses its luster, like...
Exactly.
It's Jungle Boy. And you know how they do the whole matches, like wins and losses?
Mm-hmm.
I think Jungle Boy's 0-8 right now.
Oh, wow.
So that would be kind of shitty.
Yeah, exactly. That would lose Jericho's, like you said, luster, shine. You know, like, yeah, he's got to win clean, for sure.
Yeah.
So they'll probably let him win clean for 2019, and then something else may come 2020.
Right, but then, of course, at the end of the episode, we have Moxley. Facing bad boy Joey Janela, who I'm a huge fan of. And I think, well, that guy, he'll take any bump in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He'll, well, so will Moxley, but Janela, he just does not give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
They both put on a pretty incredible match. You can tell they've wrestled before with each other's pretty good chemistry. I was locked in the entire match. And then towards the end of the match, after Moxley won, Inner Circle came down the stairs, mm-hmm. and all of them, and just kind of stared at Moxley. And Moxley kind of looked at him, and then you can see Moxley counting how many guys are up there and his hands, and he goes, all right, yeah, bring it.
All right, come on.
And that was the end of the episode, but AEW Dynamite episode before, Moxley did the same thing when Jericho was wrestling, came down those stairs and just kind of stared at him. So yeah. They're definitely heading towards Bash at the Beach, I think.
Yeah.
So all in all, I think AEW is it was a great episode this past week, and I think the pay-per-view coming up in January shaping up being a good one.
Mm-hmm. Definitely will be. All right. Well, let's go ahead and kick off our game time.
Let's do a new game.
Yeah. We're going to do a new game today.
Which one do you want to do?
Do you want to do kind of like the superlative game?
Like in high school?
Kind of. Like the most likely to, best of.
Can we do like just different categories? I want to do like most likely to succeed.
I was never going to say that category.
This is stupid.
No.
Well, give me an idea. Give me...
Okay, let's start it. Just trust me, okay? Just answer somebody or group or whatever based upon what I say.
I guess I have to trust you. We're married.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do... most likely to sleep through an earthquake.
Oh, shit. Okay.
See? Wow. Not your basic superlatives, okay?
Jeez. Okay, that's really throwing me off. Most likely to sleep through an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go ahead and say...
It can be now, current, or old, whatever.
Okay. Oh, jeez. God. And I can think of a ton of them. I don't know which one to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Andre the Giant.
Why?
I mean, just look at the guy. I feel like anytime he gets quality sleep... You're not waking that beast up.
No way, he's a beast. Exactly.
You're not waking that guy up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a legend out there where he drank like almost a keg of beer in one sitting.
He was passed out. Yeah. For sure.
So if he were to do that, he's sleeping through that earthquake. You know. It
wouldn't even faze him even if he were to be awake. So.
Well, the earthquake's not going to move him. So.
That was a good pick. All right. So now you get this game.
Yeah, I guess I get it. Okay.
So now you get to do something.
Okay, so, all right, I got one.
Okay.
How about most likely to take a selfie?
Let's see. So I'm instantly, there's a girl I'm thinking of and a male.
You probably follow them on Instagram or something.
I do.
Of course you do.
I'm going to go with The Miz.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think The Miz is obsessed with himself.
Yeah, I can see that.
And he just loves to take selfies.
He does.
I mean, yes, I feel like a female could potentially take different sorts of selfies.
I thought you were going to say...
Alexa Bliss.
No, I mean, I thought you were going to say just
other, That was my other person I was thinking of, but...
Not to be sexist, but I thought you were going to say a female.
No, I'm going to go with The Miz, because I just think that he would be the most to take selfies. You know, I feel like he has, like, the Zoolander faces.
Yeah,
and like
does.
No matter what he does, he's going to be taking a selfie, right. Whether it's something in the background or it's just off his face, different ways, different poses.
And he owns it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love his selfies. So I'm going to go with The Miz for that one.
It's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. How about best click?
Oh, okay. That's a good one. So like best group, obviously.
Yeah.
God. Damn, that's tough because there's so many. I mean, the first ones that come to anybody's mind, you have Degeneration X, you have NWO, you have the Four Horsemen, Team Hell No. No, I'm just kidding. That's only two people. It's a joke. You have Nation of Domination. You have a lot. Jeez. Let's see here.
Did you say the Four Horsemen?
I did say the Four Horsemen. Mm-hmm. So chill. Okay. I gave them credit. All right. let's see here. Best click. You know what? I'm going to go with...
Shield.
They are a click, yes.
Yeah, they are. There's three of them.
They were actually a really good click. I mean, they're a good group.
Yeah, I'm just naming some of them. But go on. What do you think?
For me, my vote goes to... I'm going to go with NWO.
Of course you are.
Oh, really? You're not surprised?
Mm-mm.
Why are you not surprised?
I was saying it in my head that you were going to say NWO.
Well, I think the reason why, to me, it was such a shock.
It was so nostalgic for you, I think.
So nostalgic.
Yeah, I think that's why. I was thinking it in my head.
Well, nothing like that had ever happened before, at least when I was around. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my God. And you got fans, like, when they first, like, it was when Hulk Hogan turned at Bash the Beach.
Ah!
WCW. And when he turned, it was his first heel turn with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall joining from WWF to WWE. WWF to WCW, sorry. Yeah. And when the fans realized Hulk Hogan turned bad, they were throwing beers. They were throwing food.
Everything.
Like, there was so much trash in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that was going to happen. And they interviewed him, you know, obviously years later, saying we were ready for it. Mm-hmm. But it was going to shock the system. And But yeah, so I think best click for me is NWO, just because it definitely changed wrestling culture.
That makes sense. I gotcha.
Do you like that?
That was nice.
Was that nice?
That was really nice, Kyle.
That was good. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Okay. All right, let's do maybe one more.
Okay.
Okay, so let me think here about this one for you. Okay. Good luck with this one. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Who would you vote for to be most likely to fart and blame someone else?
To fart and blame somebody else.
We have to make sure these people are not listening to our podcast.
I doubt they are, but okay. Based upon storylines, I'm probably going to go with someone who's more current, because I can think of who's being just a complete sleaze kind of person. You know, a character. I'm gonna have to go with King Corbin.
I cannot disagree with that.
He would totally blame somebody else. He'd blame somebody else for anything that he does.
Yeah.
So I could totally picture him farting and blaming on anybody else.
Anything negative is not his fault. Anything positive is because of him.
Yeah, exactly. So he's the perfect candidate for that title.
Wow.
That's a superlative for 2019.
That can't be. That was probably the best award given that we just did. That was actually really good. I can totally. And he probably does that.
Yeah, he totally would. 100%.
You bastard King Corbin. Well, I think also, too, with this new game we just did, I think what we can do, Jamie, in the next few weeks, closer to the end of the year, so probably our last episode right before the new year, so maybe two episodes from now or so, we can do maybe end of the year awards.
Mm-hmm.
What, would you want to do something like that?
Yeah, we can do that.
And we could base it on current wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, like, we could do some of the basic ones, like most improved or... Mm-hmm. Rookie or MVP or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll have some good categories, I think.
Coming up by the end of the year, we'll go ahead and move on towards that.
That's fun. Yeah, I like trying out new games, so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. Well, so here's our little plug that you know you're going to hear. Please give us a follow on Instagram for End of the Ropes. And we're also on TikTok as well. And of course, if you do like what you're listening to, please, please, please leave us ratings and or reviews, and also subscribe on our app on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're probably on it. So again, thank everybody out there for listening to our podcast. Thank you for supporting us, and we look forward to hearing you next time.
Thanks, everybody.